Our next presentation is going to be by Dr. Terry Wheeler, Effects of Verticillium Wilt and Bacterial Blight on Commercial Varieties.
Good morning, everybody. Another fun-filled day. All right. So I'm going to start this talk off with the bacterial blight part of it. You see here some symptoms, the brown, pretty strongly brown-colored square sort of small lesions. They can coalesce and form larger spots, but initially they start out fairly small. The bacteria symptoms always start first on the underside of the leaf, and you see here the water-soaking appearance, which is diagnostic of bacteria. The diagnosis is if you see spots on the top, you always turn the leaf over and make sure they're on the bottom as well. Sorry. And here you see another sign of the water soaking that's really diagnostic of bacteria. And this part of it is the defoliation, where you've got your spots here and the plants tend to defoliate from the bottom going up. And at least in Texas, where we're somewhat dry, those leaves, the bacteria will survive and overwinter in those leaves. Here you see the bowl spot that can be caused by the bacteria. And I've certainly received many sources of seeds over the years where I plant them in fields, different varieties, and some of them will be infested with bacterial blight. So in spite of the acid deleting process, there's no question if the plants are grown in an area that have bacterial blight that get on the seed, that it's not killed completely by acid deleting. So in 2000, we started a program. We were funded by the Plains Cotton Growers to assess commercial breeding material or commercial varieties for bacterial blight resistance. And we've continued this program ever since 2000. I grow the bacteria up on a media, and then I take a plug and put it in a flask that has the Strip-to-K soy broth. I shake it for a day and a half at room temperature, and that builds it up to 10 to the 8th per mil. And then I dilute it to 10 to the 6th per mil, add this Silhouette L77, which is really efficient at getting the bacteria into the plants, and we spray it over the plots at a rate of 50 gallons to the acre, and that's at 10 to the 6 per mil in that solution. And so here we're just bebopping down a field, spraying it lightly. There's no real pressure involved. It's just a light spray over the top. A lot of water, but no real pressure. And then about 2 weeks later, we'll get symptoms, and I'll rate incidence for blight. So this is the combination from two tests that we did this year, quite a few different entries, and this is incidence of blight here on your y-axis. And so just to sort of summarize, with the Americot stuff we looked at, there were 7 resistant lines we looked at and 4 susceptible. Delta Pine, we had 11 resistant and 3 susceptible. The Fibromax Stoneville BX is the experimental BASF line, 7 resistant, 3 susceptible. Phytogen, we looked at 14 lines or varieties, and they were all resistant. Cropland Genetics, which is CP or their breeding lines or WFU, 3 resistant and 3 susceptible. And so the companies are doing a nice job overall, I think, of introducing blight-resistant material. This ratio would have been skewed 5 years ago quite a bit. And so I'm pleased that a lot of the varieties coming forward now, I wish they were all blight resistant, but we do still have some susceptible lines coming forward. At the Lubbock website, it's lubbock.tamu.edu, I make a list every year of most of the commercial varieties and whether they're resistant or susceptible. So that's always a resource if anyone wants to go to lubbock.tamu.edu and look for bacterial blight information. You would see that updated list every year on what varieties are listed as. But most companies have that on their variety information that they present as well, and I find that to be accurate. This is a chart of what I've done is tracked the cotton varieties that were planted that were susceptible to bacterial blight in 3 states. Georgia's in blue, Mississippi's in green, Texas is in red, from 2005 to 2019. And we started getting an epidemic of blight around 2011 that resurged, because you can see before 2011, the majority of the acres were planted in blight-resistant varieties, very few blight-susceptible. Around 2007 or 8, we saw the shift because we lost Delta Pine Triple Nickel, 555BR, and Delta Pine 444BR, Stoneville 5599BR. Those went away because they had the Bogard 1 transgene, and they were replaced by B2 genes, varieties with B2 genes. The replacement varieties were generally all susceptible to blight. And so you saw a rapid increase in the acres being planted to blight-susceptible varieties, and that continued through about 2015, 2016. And then since 2016, you've seen, that was when Delta Pine 1646 B2XF came out, which is an enormously popular variety around the country, and that is partially resistant to blight. And so since then, you've seen a nice coming down of that. And frankly, while we'll have some bacterial blight show up here and there, we're not having the epidemics. There's not the inoculum out there anymore right now to cause the severe losses that we were having. All right, I'm going to transition into verticillium wilt. This is usually a fairly damaging disease in the southern high plains of Lubbock. If we get cool temperatures coming in August, especially the latter half of August or September, we'll typically get some damage due to verticillium dallei. And I run a variety trial every year, or variety trials every year, looking at new material and what their responses are to verticillium wilt. This happens to be tracking verticillium wilt over since 2008 at a Helm Farm, a A&M property at Halfway, Texas. And you can see in 2009 the incidence of verticillium wilt was very low, and that was due to extremely high temperatures in August and September. So really what I'm going to focus on today is just those few varieties that were susceptible, that even in a year where there was almost no verticillium wilt, still managed to come up with some symptoms. And so instead of being able to talk about the resistant varieties, unfortunately I'm going to just have to mention a few susceptible varieties. So the bars are your yields, which unfortunately were not related to wilt. That line at the bottom that's orange is your wilt incidence, not very important. The black line, however, was a defoliation rating we made on the 10th of October, and you did see some peaks there. So a few of the lines that are peaking would be ones that I would, let's say, be a little bit concerned about their verticillium wilt potential. So one is, the first one that we come to with a large peak is Delta Pine 1612 B2XF, and that's actually our susceptible check. So that is an indication that we have some valuable information here. Another variety that's peaking is Cropland Genetics 9178 B3XF, Delta Pine 1835 B3XF, Phytogen 250 W3FE, Delta Pine 1909 XF, Delta Pine 1916 B3XF, Next Gen 3994 B3XF, and Delta Pine 1908 B3XF, and Next Gen 3956. Those were all ones that had some higher defoliation, and I would be concerned planting them into verticillium wilt fields. And so this is what, it was October 9th, this is what a good variety versus a bad variety looked at that point. Not much impact on yield. It was too late. It came in too late. But still, I think, enough to get some data on what to be concerned with. This was another site. Same deal. We didn't have a lot of wilt, but we had some that were worse than others. This was a drip irrigation field and actually yielded quite well, about 2,000 pounds of lint to the acre for the better varieties. And there was a few here that I was concerned with. Delta Pine 1612 B2XF was flagged again. And again, the ones I've talked about before, Delta Pine 1916 was flagged. Next Gen 930, I think. And they'll be in the final report. But there were a couple next gens. There were a fair number of Delta Pines that were flagged as having a little bit higher wilt incidence. And Plainview was our last site. This test was pretty late. The Micronair was 2.5 on a lot of these varieties, so they didn't mature out all that well. But again, some of the same suspects, there were a few Delta Pine from the class of 19 seems to be pretty uniformly susceptible to to verticillium wilt if you're planting Delta Pine. Some of cropland genetics that I hadn't mentioned before, 9608, B3XF, also was triggered. So the 9608 and the 9178 from cropland are ones to probably be avoiding. So, all right. And so I'm just listing some of them here. And they'll be in the final report in case anyone's interested. And so I want to thank the sponsors, the Plains Cotton Improvement Program, Texas Cotton State Support. We have a NEPA IPM program that helps fund some of our bacterial blight work. And then the producer cooperators, Ron Graves, Glenn Schur, and Larry Smith. So we out of time?
We have plenty of time.
Okay. So we got...